Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussions.
I want you to help me rock tonight.
Huntsville, get ready for one incredible concert. Chase Fiber Productions presents the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013. Featuring some of the best gospel artists in the world, like the Franz Allen Group. The Franz Allen Group.
Good afternoon, faith-based listeners. Today on Faith-Based, our topic is restoring order to the church. That is going to be our main topic. And our subtopics are, were churches of old out of order? Which means, were they ran differently, or were they ran incorrectly, or is it the church of today that's being ran incorrectly? Does the new church order make it easy to draw people to God, or does it allow its members to make excuses for their lifestyle? How do we restore order, and where should it begin? Also, we want to know, is it up to man or the church members to do that, or do we leave it to God's judgment? Those are the topics that we will be discussing today on Faith-Based Purpose. We're going to bring Evangelist Williams, Reverend Williams, on the line. How are you all, you both?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Doing real well. Hi, Reverend Williams. Now, I keep getting somebody's number mixed up. Is there the 714? Is that Minister Bobby? 936714? No? Okay. Okay, well, what we're going to do, Evangelist Williams, do you mind leading us in a prayer today?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, Lord, for the radio talk show. Thank you for each listener, oh God. We thank you for the moderators and the hosts, Lord. We thank you, God, that our understanding will be enlightened in the talk show this afternoon. And, Lord, that answers to questions that we have might be answered through your word. We thank you, God, that for the purpose of the show, God, is to enlighten your people and for us to increase in knowledge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even to give us a close walk with you. And we thank you for each participant, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the show. And we bless your name for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, we do have some callers on the line, but they did not click, they did not choose to speak. So we're going to just let them hold on for a minute. I know one of the numbers, and I'll always bring them on anyway. I want to do something a little bit different today with you, you know, with y'all, okay? What I want to do is, first of all, I want to hear one thing from each of you, just one. And I want I want you to tell me one thing that you noticed, if there's anything that you've noticed in the church today that you feel has changed or has disrupted what you believe to be God's order for the church. And I only want one from each person, and we're not gonna we're gonna remember our roles as Christians, and we're not gonna bash anyone. We're not gonna bash denominations. We're not gonna do any of that. But if there's any one thing that anyone can think of that they feel has changed in the church? Reverend Williams.
Kevin Williams, go first.
I would just say overall, one thing, the song, Everything Up, the compromisation, and the... compromisation of the Word of God.
Okay.
To the church.
Okay. Now, you know, for me, Evangelist Williams, you know, it's something real small for me, right?
Okay.
I can't stand to see people chew gum in church. That burns me up. So that's mine.
Mine is unnecessary talking. I feel like that's very out of order.
Okay.
And disrupting and distracting. I think the talking, you know,
okay.
It's not your turn. You know how people just whisper and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Talk. And sometimes,
okay.
You know, I think talking. I'm just going to say the word talking.
Okay. All right. A young man brought this to me, this topic to me, and, you know, he was talking about the way the kids are in the church today. And I guess he's a young man, and he just can't understand the kids running around playing in the church. He can't understand the talking in the church, the whispering, the everything, everybody looking back every time somebody walk in the door, the dress code. There's mention of homosexuality in the pulpit. There's quite a few things that's disturbing, and I find that it's more disturbing to the young people.
Yeah.
The young people mention it more than the older people do.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if we're just kind of complacent in all of this. We're just going to go to church and just whatever, you know, just as long as we go to church.
Before I die and go to hell from the inside of the building, I won't leave my house. I won't leave my house.
Okay.
I will not, and I heard Reverend Williams saying compromising the word. I cannot, it's so, you ask for one thing, but it's so many things. And it's just not the young people, but it might disturb them more than us, maybe because we've been around longer, and they're trying to come in. And if they're going to live, if they got to come to a church and live like the people live like they lived in the streets, what's the use of them coming, giving up their street stuff to come in? And we live in work, and we old folk, old and wore out.
Okay.
You know, it runs grave over my plate. I just can't deal with it.
Okay.
Amen.
And that took us straight to it.
Yeah.
Now, Reverend Williams, do you have can you give us one scripture
let's just go to the Book of Revelations.
Okay. And if y'all hear some noise, I'm gonna mute myself for a minute because my computer decided it don't want to do what it want to do.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Reverend,
I got another one open.
Give me the scripture so I can find it.
Just the first in the first second
Revelation
chapter.
One.
Revelations.
Okay.
Okay, and let's just look at the fourth verse in that second chapter.
Revelation 2 and 4. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Does everybody have it all?
Amen.
Okay. Now, understanding that this is Jesus who is talking to John to the seven churches.
Right.
And this is one of the things he letting most of the church know. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Yeah. And it said, and it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that God wants us to understand, that the first thing the Christian has, the church body, I don't care what denomination it is, if you pick up the Bible, you're reading the same thing I'm reading.
That's right.
The first thing, we forgot who loved us first. If we're saying Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, he first loved me. Well, then you ought to have your first love for the church should have his first love is for Christ. That is the head. And it's just that, and I don't want to interfere with the program, but that's one of the things that we have lost in our lives, because we have compromised. And about the young man, it starts with not his generation, but it started with our generation. Let's put it like this. The generation that is younger than mine is those 30 and 40 that came along and all the way up to now have come to compromise. Because they have forgotten the first love. And the first love was that God had already set the order way back over in the Old Testament, coming all the way up to now.
That's exactly right.
And God said to the church and to Israel, teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
And them teach their children my way. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy.
That's the word.
And one thing we have forgotten is the first love is that we're serving that who is holy. Okay?
Amen.
So we can go on to the next, because it's a whole lot. Believe me,
it's more than one night session. Yes.
This would even, Sister, I'll tell you, you would probably have to put this in a two-part series.
I don't see with the scriptures, I don't see how we'll get through with the first part.
Because
it's too much.
It's too much. Because if you go to look at all seven churches, the first thing really starts with the church is the head itself.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things at times we'll focus on the wrong thing, not just chewing gum or not just talking. All that comes because that's at home. That ain't got nothing to do with the head of the church. Because he should catch him and pull him to the side, call him straight out in the middle of the church. You know. But it should start at home with the parents teaching their children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's going to be one of our questions further down the line. One of our questions further down the line.
Since Reverend William shared in Revelation, let me just add one to what he said, because like he said, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just add this to go with what he said. Because this is really delicious. In Revelation 3:15-16, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Either you are saved or you are a sinner. I would cold or hot, so that then because thou art lukewarm, then neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He's not going to have nothing to do with these self-made Christians, as we call them. Because there's no such thing. Either we're going to be right or we're going to be wrong. We're going to be saved or we're going to be a sinner. It's just no in-between. You're either working towards whichever one you are going to move in. And that's it. Because, you know, you have to work hard to be a sinner. You got to work to be a sinner. And for sure, if you're going to live a Christian life, you certainly got to put some work in.
And
all right. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Evangelist Williams?
Mm-mm. I just added that one since he was in Revelation. Because I got mine in Haggai.
Okay. And I know Reverend Williams had something in, you had something from the book of Acts?
Oh, it's a whole bunch of.
Oh, it's a whole bunch of things. But no,
let's do this.
The book of Acts is going to be part of your,
okay.
Later on, well, some of the topics you're talking about.
Okay, that's fine. Let's do this. Let's talk about this. You started touching on I said that the chewing gum bothers me, and it bothers me because to me, like you said, that you know he should just pull them down. Well, he shouldn't have to be focused on that. You know that's not his focus. At Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, if you chew gum, they coming to you. They coming to you, and they're going to take it up.
That.
I don't care how old you are or how young you are. They're coming to get
it. A piece of fan up under your mouth.
No, Sister Jones, she's going to come. She's going to have her piece. She's going to have her piece of paper in her hand, and she's going to come and say, gum, please. And she's coming to get it. You know, that's just the bottom line. But to me, that and talking, like Evangelist Williams said, that's a distraction. And I do have somebody that I will ride to church with from time to time, and it bothers me sometimes because we'll be sitting beside each other and they're talking. And I'm trying to listen. You know, and they'll lean over and say something, and I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear what's going on. So
that does
bother me, you know. Some,
me too.
And for somebody to sit behind me just constantly talking and laughing, nothing. We're not even in service. They just talking.
Yeah.
And then
when the preacher gives his scripture, if somebody didn't get it, they'll start touching and asking and get everybody's attention. What did he say? What did he say? I could get up and scream, okay?
Well, if they had been paying attention, they would have heard it in the first place. You know, they would have been heard it in the first place. And what used to bother me a lot in church, Reverend Williams, was the people that would sit on the front pew. They would sit on the front and would be turned around with their arm up on the thing, looking back to see who walked in the door.
Yeah.
You might as well sit at the back.
Yeah, that's real ugly.
So, yeah, the things like that bother me because I just don't think that the head of the church have time to be focusing on stuff like that. And if somebody's sitting on the front like that and they turn every time somebody walk in, they head turn, it's going to distract him. It's going to distract them because they try to see what you jumping for. You know, we're supposed to run when somebody else runs. So,
right.
You know,
and then most of the time, the look on their face, like, excuse me, what are you doing here? You know, we don't look with a smile on our face. We look with this ugliness in our face.
Yeah, so those things do, you know, but if it's the leader, here's going to be a really, really touchy subject. If it's the leader of the church, if it's the leader that's out of order, is it up to the congregation to try to get that, get the church back in order, or do we leave it alone? I mean, you know, because there are scriptures that we're not supposed to.
That's another message right there.
Okay, well that's it. That was the question. You know, how do we restore the order? Is it man's job, or do we leave it to God?
Okay, can I just say a little something?
Mm-hmm.
In order for something. Now that scripture that Reverend Williams read was just it, because in order for something to have gotten out of order.
Mm-hmm.
That means it had to be in order first. God
mm-hmm.
placed it in
mm-hmm.
order.
Mm-hmm.
Order was from the beginning. Like, it was orderly. Now, it had to get out of order according to man's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It had to get out of order because of man's doing. You know, every, and not denominational-wise, but every church, I don't care if it's 15 of the same denomination, every one of them has their own way to do. And they'll tell you, oh, we do ours like this. We do ours like this. So we need to go back and see what God's order for, since it's his church, we need to go back and find out what his order is. Because it's just too many of the same even name that's doing everything. No one even denomination do everything just alike. So how many gods is it? How many gods is it? It's just one, and that's the true and living God. So all of us need to find out what he says about it. And then we all need to follow suit.
Amen.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me that it's 15 Baptist churches and all of them take up their offering different. It's 15 Holiness churches and all of them take up their offering different. It's 15 Methodist churches, all of them take up their offering different. It's 15 non-denominational churches and all of them take up, do everything different. So it's about God's order. And at our church, now I can really brag because everybody can brag on their own church. But if mine was our order, you know me, Sister Sugar. I would just have to say, this is not right right here. And I'm not going to go along with it. You count me out. Or either I go somewhere else and see if I can go with somebody else. Because we cannot go along with everything that everybody does, even if it's a pastor. Did you not know that our church, our pastor is my husband? But every member in the church, it's important to him that all the standards that we go by and everything that we discuss scripture-wise, it's very important to our pastor that all of us agree.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody in there, even the children, if they have a different opinion, he's humble enough to even listen to make it plain enough that the children can understand and obey. But some of our leaders, some of our pastors, you know I'm right, they'll say, it's my way or no way. Well, I've got news for them slick rascals. It's God's way or no way. It's God's way or no way. So we're going to follow these preachers to hell. Oh, he look good. My pastor smell good. Well, if they do what they're supposed to, all of them look good and smell good because God created all of us. But we got to go by a book. We got to go by a Bible. And I don't care if we have a mega church, a middle-sized church, or a little wee tiny church, but there's only one Bible, and all of us going to have to follow it. Or somebody's going to be left out.
Amen.
That's just, you know, and I mean, I want to, if it's not the church that I go to, if it's not the safest place, if they, I don't want to be named among them. I don't want to be a part of you.
Yep. What the Bible says, minister? Everything done what?
Decently and in order. And it's got to be according to the word, because God's Bible is the only order that we ought to know.
Amen.
And you know what? If people would just respect the church, it's not about who your pastor is or what the name is. If you would just respect the church, you wouldn't come in there chewing no gum and blowing bubble and talking while a preacher preaching. That's just like somebody doing a break dancing while taking up offering. Come on, people.
I knew you were going to say something.
They just about to go there,
man.
Sister Sugar, you might have to put her in time.
I know.
I'll tell you what. You know what? Why we do this, we know it's out of order. You know, we just oh, God.
I said like this here, Sister Sugar, Sister Moderator, that we have to understand that the head of the church is accountable for everything that goes on.
That's right.
And then it starts like a chain of command, not upward, but it starts downward. Now, God, because the head is the one who is accountable, because he is the teacher, he is the shepherd. And not only that, then comes the deacons. People think it's the ministers. No. They forget our job. Me as a social minister, my job is to go out among them sick folks at the hospital, in the neighborhood, where the pastor sent me. But I do try to help out in grabbing some of them children when they're out of order.
I know that's
straighten
right.
The people out. That's the head of the church. But the deacons who are in the church, they're supposed to be that armor bearer that lifts him up when it's needed. And they're the one that's supposed to make sure that things are going right also by holding up the word of God also. When you get to the elders, you see, when you get to them sisters in the church, it's for them to do like Minister Williams saying, is that you grab some paper, some gum, and then you let the younger women know. You need to let your children know how they act when they come to the house of the Lord, whether they get offended or not. You see, because the thing is that God has put, when he gave the charge to the head in Revelation, now he's talking to the whole body.
That's right.
When you find that the head is out of order, you don't have to call him out in the middle of church as he's going to call somebody. But it's for you and all of us as members. If we know the word of God, we're supposed to go to him and let him know. And if he's still out of order, then you're supposed to go get another witness, like the Bible says. And if he's still, then you bring it to the church and let the church know. But if you don't do that, because the same thing as the pastor supposed to take folks and take them through the whole thing, the same thing is for him. Whenever you find the only way the church going to get right, if we correct each other, open rebuke is better than a secret love.
That's what the word says.
And so the thing is that we are accountable for letting the head know and the leaders know. Because I can give you one example. You know, church knew that the pastor did something he ain't had no business. And they covered it up.
I was just ready to say some of them are covered up.
The deacons helped cover it up. And then when the body found out that everybody wanted to go in the uproar, but half the body already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
the
Bible say restore one.
The person. Go ahead, Sister Weaver.
The Bible said restore one in the spirit of meekness. So the preachers, if they're wrong, they ought not to get mad. But the preachers ought to have a spiritual discernment. If God has placed them there, and the Bible did say that God was the head of the church. God's the head of the church, but the pastor is right under God, listening for guidance for the church. So if
Amen.
Our pastors are filled with the Holy Ghost, they ought not get caught up in some of this stuff that they caught up in. And if they happen to sin or happen to fall, then they need to be restored in the spirit of meekness like everybody else. But if everybody's scared of the pastor like he got horns on top of his head, if everybody's scared of him, then they just let him get by with anything. But it's supposed to be a check and balance. In our churches, we're not supposed to, if our pastor happened to get weak, we need to go to him and restore him in the spirit of meekness just like the Bible said. Because they're still flesh. And they still human, and there's still some strong spirits that will even trip them down if they're not very watchful.
Amen.
But all of us are going to be held accountable. If our pastor is doing something wrong, they're going to be held accountable. It is one thing that the pastors do, and I thank God for my pastor because he don't do this. Money in their pockets.
Yeah.
And this is what causes a lot of them to fall. Slipping up to him, handing him little gifts in his pocket. You know, this is just as wrong. The people that's doing this wrong and the pastor is wrong for allowing it to be done. Because when you get ready to chastise that person, they're going to tell it on you.
Amen.
They're going to tell it on you. So if they put some money in my husband's pocket, I'm going to take it out and go shopping with it.
And still be ready to tell it.
They did it, but I got the money. It's up wrong. We got to do right.
Yes.
I have Sister
Regina.
One minute.
Sister Regina, how you feel about this topic?
Oh, it's awesome. I'm just taking it in because I know exactly what they're talking about. So I've been there and done that, so I know how it is, especially with that talking and you can't hear. I love my pastor, but, baby, when he read them scriptures, baby, going like a thunderbolt, but I'm going to get him. But I don't like nobody to read.
I'm going to fall out his chair. What you say, Regina? He going like a thunderbolt, huh?
Oh, the Lord have mercy. I said, Jesus, help me, Jesus.
He's going to make me fall out this chair. Oh, my God. All right. Reverend William, you had one last thing you want to say about this before I go on to the next one?
Yeah. And as she was saying is that now I have nothing against preachers or pastors getting love offering, but yeah, we kind of getting ready. That's going to take us into probably our next topic. But sometimes they can get their mind crossed up and can allow themselves get carried away with a lot of things that go on, you know. And I find that if the leaders and if the church leaders themselves would stand up and hold up against the word, hold up with the word of God, not against it, but with the word of God, you see, the churches of old now, they had some of their little panhandles come along, but the thing is, in the churches of old stood up for the word of God, and in today's time, it's more about how many people you get, how much money you raise,
That's
how
right.
big your building is, what type of car you drive in, how much your clothes don't cost, and how big the choir is. And
okay.
we even, you know, with the congregation, we just allow anything to walk in and just be, and I'm gonna cut it right there because we're going into your next topic.
Okay,
Miss Sugar. Let me just share two scriptures, and y'all can, you know, we won't deliver. I want to add on this topic, Haggai 2:3.
Okay.
And 2:9. Okay, I'm just going to read them, and y'all just think about it. It says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? And 2:9 says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. The reason why there is no peace is because we have left our first love. And that's what I wanted to add to what Reverend Roosevelt said, his first scripture in Revelation.
All right.
Now we can go on.
Amen. Okay. Our next topic that we're going to go into is, I want to say this the right way. The question is, does the new church order make it easier to draw members to God? Because, does it make it easy to get members into the church? The way that the churches are set up today, does it make it easy to get people into the church? Or does it just allow the people that are in the church to make excuses for their lifestyle? And you know, that includes some of the things that we mentioned earlier, like the dressing and the different things. Now I want to say that another young guy that I talked to this evening, actually my nephew that I talked to this evening, he feels like this was his thought on it, that it's important to get the people in the church. And that once they get in the church and hear the word, then you take it from there. But he says his thoughts are that the most important thing is to get them to the church. So we'll go from there.
Okay, again, we know that it's the word that's going to save us. And the Bible said that except the Spirit of the Lord draws one, he really can't be drawn. We can get out there and witness, and our lives can be an example. But if the Spirit of the Lord don't convict people of their sins, they won't repent and live right. The Spirit has to convict them. Now, a lot of times people get in trouble or something, and we call it jailhouse religion or prison religion. You know, if they get in trouble, they'll say, oh, Lord, they need help right then. But then time they get out, they fall back into the same thing because the Word of God really haven't convicted them and cleaned them up. It's just like the trouble they got in caused them to come when they came. But I feel like, and according to the Word, that if we really get the Word that's going to save us, yes, invite them and get them in. But if we see people after we get them in, say, for instance, if we allow homosexuals to render the music, if you hire them in or invite them in and you know they're not delivered and you allow them to start playing on the instrument, when you get ready to close in on them and tell them your lifestyle is not acceptable to God, guess what they'll do? Leave before they change. Whereas if the Spirit draws them, they'll come in, but they'll allow God to change them. We have it everywhere. We have it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to admit, whether they're lesbians or gay, they can preach, they can sing, and they can shout, and they certainly can play music. But should we accept them to continue in the things of the church and they won't receive Christ? I don't think so.
Amen.
Okay, you know, we let them in.
Mm-hmm. So here's my question on that, Evangelist William, and I understood what you said. So is your understanding and knowledge that if a person want to come into the house of praise and say they have they've been living a life of clubs, going to the clubs, and those are the only clothes that they have, and they get up one Sunday morning and they want to be there. They just want to be there, but that's all they have to wear. Is it acceptable or is it not?
We would never turn them away. Yes. Come on in. What you have?
Evangelist Williams finish, Reverend Williams.
If they are not appropriately dressed, nobody at our church is going to turn them away because we got all sizes at our church, and somebody would definitely give them something presentable to wear.
Okay, and I think that's what he was saying. He was saying, get them in there.
Yes,
and
let
then,
them come on
and
in.
And then show them, you know, or teach them or help them understand what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Now, are we supposed to allow them to stay if they reject, if they just want to do what they want to do,
You went away. All right, we didn't hear you.
Okay. A lot of churches, because they allow them to come in. They let them come in. And when they start trying to offer them different attire that's for coming, and they reject it, they say, well, you let me came in and this. What's wrong with it? And they refuse. Are we still supposed to allow them to come on in and you know? Because some of them, I'm telling you, Ms. Sugar, some of them will leave before they accept. You know, you're telling them, well, this is really not appropriate. You know, let us kind of help cover your body up and blah, blah, blah. Some of them will leave before they accept.
Amen. Hello?
Okay, Reverend Williams, Well, okay, go ahead. And then, Minister Bobby, you go after Reverend Williams, and welcome to the show.
Oh, Minister Bobby can go ahead. I can wait. I can hold mine. Minister Bobby, you can go ahead.
Okay, well, maybe she don't want to say anything right now. Go on.
Okay. I was getting ready to say, in lieu of what Minister Williams was saying, is that, you know, that's where we come into the compromisation.
Right.
I look at if a prostitute come in off the streets dressed as a prostitute, let her come on in. Now, if she's too fully inappropriate, we should keep clothing and stuff in the back. All sides, really. When someone come into church, we can let them put on something that's more decent.
Right.
And so they don't feel, sometimes they may feel out of order the way they come in. But the one thing about it, if they come, I see signs on churches, no T-shirt, no shoes, can't come in. That's another thing that's thrown out of order. If somebody come in barefooted and with a T-shirt on, a muscle shirt or whatever, we got on a pair of shorts, there it is, a duster ball, let him come on in. Because we only looking at the outside, but God is looking at the inside. And it's the inside that needs to be worked on. It's the inside that needs to be worked on instead of the outside. Work on the inside, then you can get on the outside. But the thing is, the first thing the church does out of order is, let me put it like this.
Reverend Williams.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I stop you? I don't mean to cut you off, but could you tell us what a duster ball is?
Well, let's be like this here. My mom would be mad when my grandmother took us to church and put it on the front row. We just came outside playing in all that dirt from the heel down to the toe.
Oh, Jesus. I need you to explain that before Evangelist William choke over there.
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask him what that was.
That's one that's dirty from the top to the head down to the feet. Who cares?
Oh, Jesus.
I don't care if you're a hobo that's smelling all outdoors. I'm like, just take him on in. And show him. And if he smells too bad for you, after service, take him to a motel or a hotel and let him take a bath, get cleaned up, let him get shaved and show him he can be somebody.
Right.
You know,
but you know,
but I'm just saying, the first thing church does, yes, ma'am?
I said, you're right. But a lot of them, we bring them in, and they won't accept it.
And the first thing the church does is, when I say compromise, soon as somebody, there's nothing wrong with somebody coming into the church. First, you get the word of God in you before you even start messing with anything in the house of the Lord. Because the house of the Lord is a respectable house.
Right.
Everything that is in it is holy and sacred. People won't want to say, no, it ain't. Yes, it is. From that baptismal pool to the choir stand to the pit, to the pulpit, all the way to the back door. Every instrument, every table, every pot and pan that is in there to that offering pail. It is a sacred place. And the thing that's why the Bible says, Satan, I know where your seat is.
Mm.
And the thing is, we let anything and everything infiltrate, and as soon as it come in, just because it can play a good piece of music, but want to practice adultery, want to practice all the things that the Bible say do not.
Right.
Just because it can sing and it's gay and it can play good, okay, it's supposed to get the word of God in before it touch any key.
All right.
Anything that come on the mic, okay, it's supposed to get itself cleaned up before it even touch that mic or that pulpit. Because you will get ready to call that, because Jesus said, many are going to come in my name confessing, Lord, saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we preach? Didn't we do all that? But he's going to say, depart from me, worker of iniquity. And Jesus saying, I didn't know you because you didn't get acquainted with me. You didn't try to get to know me. You didn't try to get to learn of me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna ask a question. I wanted to ask Minister Bobby if she had anything to say, but I'm gonna ask a question I probably should not ask because it's already been touched on. Did Minister Bobby not want to say anything?
It's Minister Cook.
Oh, Minister Cook, I am so sorry. And you told me that, didn't you?
That's all right.
I'm so sorry. Well, welcome anyway.
Thank you.
Good. You know, we always honored to have you here. So would you like to share anything?
I was just listening to everything that everyone is saying. And I'm going back to, like I said last week, about how Jesus restored the right place in the temple where the money changers and all those people had come in there and turned the house of the Lord into like a zoo where everything and anything was coming up in there doing what they wanted to do. And he said, you know, you done turned it into like a den of thieves. In other words, you done went past what the purpose of the house was to doing it the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Minister Williams and Evangelist Williams. You know, people have really strayed away from what the pure purpose of the church is.
Yep. Amen.
They've strayed away from it. I can remember as a child, you went to the bathroom before you even got in the church. And if you even thought you wanted to get up and walk during church service, all my man do is look at you. You better get somewhere and sit down.
I know that's right.
And you better not even think about talking out in church.
Amen.
And they wouldn't wait till I take you outside. They'd bust you right there in the church house.
Yep.
Amen.
But see, we done strayed away from all of that. We let the kids do what they want to do in church now.
Yeah.
Come any kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Talk out and be what they want to be in church. That, you know, you're really losing kids when you let them do that kind of
that's
stuff.
Exactly right. That's
exactly they feel
right.
Like, well, if I can do it in church, I can do it anywhere I want to do it. They have no respect for your house, God's house, and nobody else's house.
That's right.
God intends for us to have respect, period. Mm-hmm. He said train them up.
Yep.
Sometimes the old folks have to be retrained. But he said train them up. Train them up.
I kind of blame that on, I blame that with that on the parents. Because
that's what I'm saying, you don't train them in the house. So how do you expect they're going to have respect for God's house?
I listened to my daughter and I listened to other youth, and what I heard them say, church is so boring. They sing all them old songs. And the thing is that in order to get them to church, the church of today has catered to them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not the elderly. It's catered
to
them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's catered to what they like.
Well, that was the question. That's what the topic is about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing to get the, you know, to draw them in?
Well, let me put it to you like this. I don't mind trying to get a child to come to church and put it in some activity that can help them. But when it comes to service and worship, when folks want to turn church into like a nightclub, I ain't got that. Hmm.
Me neither, and I'm not going to get there either.
I'm getting there, okay? Because that's what it has done. When Sister Wood, when Vandalus Williams started talking about now they dancing all over, about the break dance, that's what they started doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody want to start popping it like it's hot, dropping it like it's hot. And half the preachers sit up there wanting to holler, we going to drop it like
no,
that.
No, we ain't dropping it.
We're going to fart. I'm not bringing like this. When I dropped my bags, when I left the nightclub, I left Royal Lounge. Sister Silver knows. That's what I used to run. When I left there, I left all that there.
Amen.
It ain't nothing I changed partners. No, I changed my steps. And now who I do dance for is for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I dance with my wife, but when I'm getting ready to praise and worship, I'm getting ready to praise and worship. ain't trying to do the James Brown. I ain't trying to pop it and do James Brown all across. Oh, no. I mean, to each his own. People can call it what they like. That's their business. But don't try to play me. A lot of folks want to. I'm like this here. When I left all my gold and all my jewelry, I left it right out there. But when I come to the house of the Lord, I have on the ring. I ain't trying to put a tin up on each thing. Because I'm not there trying to get everybody's attention on me.
Where you
finna go? It's to stay on the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Where you going?
Amen. So,
a lot of people get it out of order.
Some boys want to come down with earrings in their ear. Everybody want to show all their tattoos when they come up in there. I had one child tell me, oh, yeah, child, I got to hold my skirt because I'm the bugaboo of the church. Y'all and me and trying to look at my behind. And I'm like, you know, you lost your mind.
Yeah. I just went off.
Yeah.
And my thing is, our focus need to be on the God on high. I don't care what nobody out there thinking about. I don't care what they're saying. They can be different. I don't care how they feel about their opinion. Because this is not my opinion. This is by the word of God.
Okay, I'm going down the line. I'm going to go down the line here, and I'm gonna list some things.
Go ahead.
And I know I probably shouldn't do this until I mute Reverend Williams, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You stop muting Reverend Williams and let him talk.
I'm gonna mute him and I'm gonna mute you too because you're gonna laugh when he talks. We're gonna mute both of y'all. Okay, but here we go.
Well, let me be last then.
I don't think you can. Well, let's see. We're gonna talk about. Let's talk about this. We're gonna list some things that could possibly have caused this order to the church. Now, I'm going to go down a list. It's no use of me saying that we're not going to we're not going to bash anybody. We're not going to, you know, be disrespectful, but we are going to tell the truth.
Amen.
We are going to tell the truth. So we're going to talk first about, and we've touched on it already, we're going to talk about dress attire for men and women. Not, we talked about the women. But the men and the women. Does anybody think that I don't want to say that word, but I'm going to say this word. The new church order, the way the new church are designed, the way they're set up, and what they allow their members to wear, Well, first of all, I want to say this. One of the churches that I attend, the members wear black on First Sunday. And I've been wanting to ask someone about this because this is a new thing to me. I didn't grow up in a church where the mission sisters and everybody, they were white on First Sunday.
Right. We still do.
I've never gone to a church where everybody wears black. And when they give communion, you know, the elders all are dressed in black. And you know me, I'm like, okay, why am I the only one in here? You know, and everybody got on black. Well, that's what we wear on First Sunday. And my question was, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Could they answer for you?
Well,
just a traditional thing.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that it was a traditional thing. It was.
Yeah.
What is a traditional thing? What
just
is a traditional thing, Reverend Williams?
Well, just like in my church, traditional, the thing they've been doing through the years, and we First Sunday, everybody wear black.
At your church?
Oh, y'all wear black?
Yeah, and the deacons have to put on white ties.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying that the women of your church all wear black?
No, they all wear white.
Okay,
okay,
you're missing my point. You're missing my point. Okay,
but I
was asking a question about the
whole church.
No, okay. What I said was, I said the you done made me forget. What did I say? I said something about the. What did I say? Because he jumped in and he. That's not what I said. I'm talking about the women and Evangelist Williams said we still wear white at our church. Now I know the men don't wear no white suits to church on Sunday.
They wear black.
No, because they know that we look crazy in a whole bunch of white.
Okay, but I'm asking a specific question for a specific reason. Is it where does this is a today's church? I've only seen, which is what I said, I've only seen one church
mm-hmm.
that I've attended
right.
that they wear the white, and
mm-hmm.
and they did not wear white in any church I've ever attended. And I told you before, I've attended every denomination that, well, except Seventh-day Adventist. I've never attended that church. Adventist or whatever it is. I've never attended that church. And I've never attended a Kingdom Hall. They've been to our house, but I've never attended a Kingdom Hall. But everything else I've gone to. I've never seen any of the women's in black. Never have. The missionary sisters always wore white. The
mm-hmm.
women in the church on first Sunday wore white. Now you telling me that y'all wear black at your church?
Not everybody, just the men.
Okay, we're not talking about the men. The men are not going to be part of the missionary system.
Well, the mission wear white, but it's really
okay.
just a tradition.
You're saying that wearing white is just a tradition?
It's just a tradition that the church does.
So white is not a sign of purity or for the first?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It represents purity. But I mean, held them in there as a virgin.
Okay, but that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying it's just a tradition.
Okay.
That the church
says. All right. Does everybody agree that we're in? Okay. We're not going to debate it. I want a specific answer. I want a specific answer. Does everybody agree that it is just a tradition to wear white on first Sunday?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
In the communion, we was always
yeah.
trained that the elders wore black, white shirts, black ties. And the union stewards, the women that helped conduct the communion, wore all white. A little white thing on the head, white gloves, white suit, white stockings, and white shoes. And it's a tradition. Let me tell you why. It's in the manual. It's in the church manual for the communion. But I haven't found it in the Bible.
No, it's not in the Bible.
I haven't found
it's
it
just,
in the Bible.
It's just what each denomination
has passed down through the years. I haven't found it in the Bible. All that Jesus said about that communion was, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. He didn't say, well, white, black, gray, purple, green. They just all white. But now let me tell you about that white. White represents purity. But how many cups of food with that communion is pure? Come on, somebody. It's a tradition.
Yeah, even ones in black.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. It's not seen on denominations, but denominations have their setting codes of how they do things. Sometimes in the Episcopal, I'm trying to get them, my cousin, they wear, all the bishops and ministers have to wear robes at certain times, and white robes, but it's just a tradition. There's nothing said it has to be done, no scripture or anything.
It's not scripture.
Okay.
You know.
That was a question. Now, the next question I want to know is, does everybody, Well, we know that you feel that there's a certain way that the women's supposed to dress. Is there a certain way that the men are supposed to dress? Is there something that the men wear that could cause that might cause disorder in the church?
Mm-hmm. You got them on too tight pants.
Yeah.
Church is too much.
Or either sometimes, let me put it like this. I even find myself kind of used to doing it and breaking away from it, is that, you know, sometimes the dress style that we do wear, the types of suits that we do pick out, you know, it can take that attention. We are trying to take that attention off of God, and we want everybody to see how good we look. Everybody to come up there and tell us how good we look, you know, and not to do
okay,
that
so
with hope. Uh-huh.
Okay,
go
so
ahead.
What do you wear?
Well, let me put it like this. I used to wear some stuff that was hot, you know.
Okay.
I try to put into mind I'm wearing what I wear because it's what I like. I'm not trying to catch nobody's attention. But I have learned that sometimes it's best to back up. Because attention should not be to you. Learn that even with my jewelry, trying to cover it mostly up and keep one ring on my finger, and that's the one that my wife gave me when we got married. I try not to, how you say, bling bling, because it's not all about me. You know, it's about us coming to serve God. I have nothing wrong with somebody who wants to come and look nice, but make sure you're coming. Just as we tell women, it's nice for you to try to come there and attract all the men's attention that they mind be off of God. And I hear people say, well, if you let your mind get disturbed, then you ain't on God no way. Oh, yeah, okay. But still, we can quench the spirit with what we do.
Okay. Hold that thought. For those that are in the chat room, if you want to hear the remainder of the show, please call in to 718-305-6798. Okay. So now we've is that the only thing? Is just the tight suits the only thing that would be?
I want to ask you on William. Of course, he said, "I want to know about these suits you're wearing."
Well, you know what?
Y'all want me to.
I'm going to help him here. He said, I used to. He said, I used to.
Canary yellow, I know that.
Oh. He said he liked canary yellow.
Oh, girl.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to put a shirt on up on this button. Well, just to give it to you. Just to give it to you. I used to put on a pink shirt. With a loud pink and white tie, and you know,
and well, nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. But if I had a pink pantsuit on with it, which I didn't,
yeah.
I don't y'all go there.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, the thing is, and then sometimes I used to like to wear walking suits to church. You know,
I think those are nice and appropriate, especially if you're like Wednesday night prayer meeting or Bible study.
Yeah, I wear them to Bible study. You know,
man, you be sure.
But then I try to make sure that I'm not. This is just me. I just try to make sure I'm not trying to take people's attention and put it on me.
We understand, because if you're a good-looking guy, what you're saying is the women can't look at Jesus but look at you.
Okay, stop.
We're gonna
move on.
I used to like to walk around with my shirt with my chest open and all that. But I don't know.
I just had to learn that.
Come on.
Go ahead and make your last statement so I can ask this question, because you and Evangelist William, I'm not going to play with either one of you.
I know we're going to go into time out first, too. But
we'll be out there whooping.
only thing I'm saying is that, first off, men, when they come to church, you should make sure that you don't have yourself toned up. Tone it down a little.
I understand. Okay. Right.
And so keep it in a perspective. When the Bible, when I read over in the book of Romans, present your body as a holy living sacrifice that is acceptable. You ought to look in the mirror and say, Lord, is this acceptable? If
okay.
you feel good about what you put on, hey, wear it.
Okay,
if you,
now.
If you feel comfortable, you uncomfortable, you know you ain't supposed to wear it.
Okay, Reverend yes. William, hold on,
yes.
hold on. As far as the men dress, is it acceptable, Mr. Cook, is it acceptable for men to wear, Minister Cook, not Reverend William, Minister Cook, is it acceptable for men to wear, to keep their hats on in church?
Oh, God, no.
No, I would think they would reverence God's house by taking them off.
Oh, Lord, no.
Reverend Williams, I said not Reverend Williams.
No, okay.
See, I'm fixing to mute you. Somebody else going to have to talk.
Oh, no. Where's he going to keep his head on me, Coop?
I'm fixing to mute him so somebody else can have a chance to say something. Okay.
Reverend Williams, go.
Now go ahead, Minister Cook, and repeat what you said.
I was saying I would think they would take their hats off as a reverence to God's house.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, what about the young men who wear the sagging pants?
Oh, God.
If they knew the meaning of the sagging pants, they would have on belts, suspenders, and a coat. They would not wear them bagging.
Well, you know, okay. Well, I know that they tell us that trend began in the prisons.
It did, and I was in the prison for 22 years.
Yeah, but it really, when you do your research, it really didn't begin in the prisons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jailhouse and prison is where it come from.
Okay. Okay.
Am I spending time out?
Now, my thing with
prison.
The men.
Maybe
over
the, there, but people on the streets who have never been to jailhouse in prison and never been to jail have their pants with their underwear showing, and most of the time they're dirty. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have an issue with the boys with the. I have an issue with that. I have seen them. And somebody told me that it couldn't be tastefully done, and it can be tastefully done. I have a group of young men on my Facebook page, and if you look at them, you won't know that their pants are sagging, but their pants are sagging. But they have on blue jeans and they have on coats. They have on like suit coats. They wear them like a wear it like a suit. They have on their hats. And everything, and they don't have them below their, you know, their bottoms and underwear showing. People can't see their underwear and stuff like that. But they don't like the tight jeans.
Okay.
But they do. I mean, if you look at them on, it's a whole group of them on my Facebook page. If you look at them, every last one of them have their pants sagging.
But you know what? It's a different stage of sagging too.
It is. There he is, and that's what I try to explain to people.
Down to your knees and the belt pulled tight.
I don't like to see anybody. I don't like to see their underwear is showing. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It's distasteful to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's distasteful.
Yes, it
then
is.
They have to walk with their legs wide open and their knees been keeping from falling down.
Now,
and a lot of times holding on to the belt to keep the pants from falling down.
Well, okay. I don't. You think they be holding, trying to keep them from falling down?
They hold on to that belt.
Yeah.
Keep spit from fouls.
So you get to that knee. Because
I've seen some hold them in the pants still fall down. They just hold them. They just hold them to be holding
well,
them. The pants already down past their knees.
The pants 2 times bigger, 3 times bigger, even 4 times bigger than what they need to get them. That's why they're
okay.
hanging down around their knees.
Okay. And see, now, I've seen this in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually seen this in the church. What do you say, Reverend Williams?
Ain't nobody grabbing. So, first thing I do, I grab every last boy in the church that comes through there. I have to grab every day, every Sunday. Boy, pull your pants up.
We had an incident where a young man came to our church and pastor went and talked to him, and he pulled his pants up.
He told me, I don't have a belt. He said, I got some pins in the office.
Hey, man. Got some pins in the office.
Okay, I'm in here. My pants dragging the ground. Nope.
Okay.
I mean, that's where outrageous can go too far now. You know.
Okay. Now, okay, we're gonna keep on the same topic, and we're gonna do this maybe for about 15 minutes, then we're gonna get off the air. Evangelist Williams.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about women with sagging pants?
Excuse me.
Okay, Reverend Williams, I'm muting you. I want you to know you're fixing to hear this right now because. Okay, where
listen,
is it?
I don't even lesbians, okay? I haven't seen any women except they call themselves being a boy with sagging pants. Let me tell you something. I don't care who it is that was made to fit up around your waist, and that's what they need to say.
Okay. All right.
And women, boys, and girls.
Okay.
And I don't have that problem in my house. David is 12. His pants fit around his waist. My husband is 68. And his pants definitely fit around his waist.
Okay. All right. Now, I guess it's going to be the last thing. We also want to talk about, and this has been mentioned tonight, has been brought up a couple of times. Reverend Williams, you just stay right there. I'll take you off of mute in a minute.
You want to mute him?
I did mute him. I muted him because he's not going to let anybody finish.
Well, he won't
do anything. He's in timeout. Y'all might as well. Y'all can't help him. He's in timeout.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in timeout.
I'm
sorry for him. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now, here's what I want to know. We're going to talk about, is it wrong to not accept homosexuality in the church?
Bible said it's an abomination. Okay, if God does not accept that lifestyle, I don't think we should. But if they come in and want to be saved and delivered, we need to welcome them in. I have worked with many homosexuals, lesbians, and men. And some of them have gotten saved. So I don't discriminate when it comes to a sinner. I don't care what their title either.
Okay.
Drunk or whatever. You know, that's what I was called to do. And that's what I work with. I don't care who you are. But this is what I can't accept. Your lifestyle ministry with me, you know, because my lifestyle is different. I just can't bring you in and know that you are not delivered and allow you to minister with me.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question.
Your thing is more or less homosexuality in the pulpit.
In the pews, in the pulpit, in the building. Spirits
the building.
Are real. Bread are real. Let's let anybody come in. The Bible said, whosoever will, let them come. Come on in and let us try to help you. But you're not going to come in and minister with us or work with us in our church, and then after a while, everybody is doing the wrong thing. Spirits are real. If we allow them to come in and they don't get delivered, then they should keep a seat until they, you know, get delivered.
Okay, okay. So, but they are, but okay. It's okay for them to be in the service, but not a part of the.
Well, by all means, come in.
The assignment.
You are.
Yeah, okay, okay. And Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you?
I agree with Sister Williams, but you know what? If we just look at people, period, in the Bible. God didn't accept them, but he loved that person, but he liked the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them an opportunity to change their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did not change their lifestyle, in the Old Testament, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
they were given an opportunity to change their lifestyle. They didn't change. So
mm-hmm.
what happened? God destroyed the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. He did let Lot and his family come out,
mm-hmm.
but he destroyed it. They were given an opportunity to turn, but they turned
okay.
natural affection, men from men loving women to men loving men and women loving women.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You can't stop loving the person as a person, but the lifestyle you don't agree with.
Okay.
And he doesn't accept it now. He
no.
says it's an abomination. He don't
and
accept
he didn't
it right
accept
now.
It back then.
Okay.
No. And I'm telling you. So we changed a lot of stuff, but God is not accepting it now.
No, he's not.
Okay.
And we're going to be held accountable if we just condone and let
That's
them
right.
come in and do what they want to do.
That's
okay. right.
But it's
Reverend
not
Williams?
Happening at our church, I know for a fact.
Reverend Williams?
Oh, I'm off of mute.
For a few minutes, go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, I got some scriptures I want to show.
Right.
And the first one. Is over in the book of Galatians 5, and I think it is verse 9. Okay. One thing we have compromised with, and what they all saying together, and that is excommunication. That's one thing we scared of doing. Okay. Do people know that we supposed to excommunicate?
I agree.
That's when something refused to change his ways. It says, a little leaving, living the whole lump. Okay?
Little sin, tell a cap up.
You let it stay in there and practicing what it practiced. It
sure.
had a whole church practicing it.
That's
and
right.
thinking it's okay. Now, understand what the Bible says, what they're saying also over in the book of Romans. It says, in Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
Right.
One thing is, like I said, if you are gay, you want God in your life, they said, both the women, the minister said the truth, and that is, God loves you, but he do not deal with that demon that's in you. That is a demon spirit.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no man supposed to think he no woman, and no woman thinks he all that old I think out. That's your business. But when you come to the house of the Lord and you want your life to be changed, you want God in your life, you need to be asking God to take that which is in you out of you. And that is when it refuses to go by the word, to listen to the word. Sister read it over in the book of Hebrews. When a person refuses, that is led by, that is brought in by the word, then you ought to be walking in the word. But that don't want you want to find the word. It goes back out there and denounces the word. That means it's going to be condemned, turned over to a reprobate. And the one thing about it, God is telling us, is that when it goes on in the house of the Lord, because churches have been scared to put people out because of numbers, how much money going to come across the table?
That's it.
Faith has gone out of the church and has gone into man. And it has gone from being a church to politics.
Mm-hmm.
and we turn God's business into world business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're scared to tell somebody, you are walking in that, you need to get up out of here. Well, finally, that's why they ask the person, when they take them up front, how do you come? You come by letter or you come by Christian experience? I'm working as I know the Lord. Now, by letter, saying I'm coming by letter from another church. So they need to go take a letter to another church if they want to be in mine. Or where I'm at, if I'm the pastor, because you cannot allow that. Because only Jesus had to say, either you're with me or you're against me.
Word.
And I leave it at that.
We don't ask them, do they come? I let our Christian spirits in our church. We come ask, do they want to be saved?
And that's the first thing you're supposed to ask people. You know,
the first person
come up, they wanna say, I want to be baptized. You did ask, do you want to be delivered? You want to be saved? That's what you're right, sister. That's what you're supposed to be asking.
That's right.
And we start jumping
in
our
own.
They
want
to be baptized, but you ain't heard no repentance come out of their mouth.
That's right.
Yeah. Or now you know. In the new order, in the order of the new churches, I guess I should say, I have noticed quite a few changes, and one of them is, you know, they have everyone stand or raise their hand if they want to dedicate their life to Christ, and then they take them in the back room, and you never hear anything about a baptism. You never hear anything about anything else.
Right. Right. Our church, we don't come right up in front of everybody like the old folks used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Confess. You got to confess Christ before everybody.
The Bible says we don't know what the folks said back then.
There ain't no secret. No, but they confess it back then.
They might confess it, but why not do it before the whole congregation so everybody will know?
Come on, help me something. That's the only thing I'm saying. That's why you come before the church.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Peter said it in front of everybody in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
When he preached, he said, repent, everyone.
Everyone.
Be baptized.
Baptized. Amen.
Amen. Romans tells us that to confess with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm. And God raised you from the dead, you shall be saved.
That's it. Amen.
Okay. Okay, so that's something that's not properly done in the new church order.
No.
There's a church on television. I'm sure some of you, everybody except Evangelist Williams, I know, haven't seen it. But there's a church on television where the pastor will ask you, you know, to say this with me if you want to confess your sins and dedicate your life to God, and then that's the end of it. And the new church is pretty much. Are pretty much like that. That's just it. Some of them would have everybody bow their head and close their eyes, and those that want to dedicate them lives, they will raise their hand, and then, you know, at the end of the service, they'll tell everyone that raised their hand to go back to the back.
I think that's great to become members, give you like a little membership package and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You just quoted his confession.
But for those that have never been baptized by water, I'm going to just say baptism by water. No, those that have never been baptized, then you take them back there in the back, and there's never a baptism. What happened?
They ain't got no pool.
Take them to the tank. I was baptized in a tank full of snakes.
Where they gonna take them? You know, somebody tried to tell me a certain church, oh, they got a pool. I'm like, I ain't seen it.
But you take them to another pool because I know the church where my son is a member of, they don't have a pool, but they take them to another church and baptize
them. That's why.
Because they just got a little country church, and this might be 8 members in their whole church, but they have service.
Okay. But that's why I beat me up if y'all want to. That's fine. I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. But that's why these here storefront churches that they come up with, that's what I don't like about them. Because you're supposed to make everything available when you call yourself going to be a pastor of a church. You're supposed to make everything available for your congregation. Not going to somebody else's church, not driving over here or over there. You see?
Well, I'm going to just tell you, this little church I'm talking about, This is one of these churches from back way before we were even born. This church has been in the family from way, way back. They have a historical mark in there, and they're not fixing to change that church. That church is in one of the whatever it is. And their fellow church, their sister church, has a big pool, and they all work together.
We don't have a our church because we converted a house. Mm-hmm. Into a church where we are now. Mm-hmm. But Reverend Williams is paid off. The Spirit of the Lord dwells there, and we are ready to build a brand new one, and we will have a baptismal.
I'm talking about them one that don't want to sit up under nobody and just go out there and start up something and go get some old put that in one of them shopping centers. And everything. They ain't thought about the congregation. They ain't thought the only thing they think about is they getting ready to leave somebody.
I know the ones you're talking about because there's one not far from where I live. But the churches that I'm talking about, these are nice, nice, big, huge churches.
I have no problem with them.
And I haven't seen any baptismal pool in there or anything. And I've never ever seen anybody baptized. And I've asked one of the members who had invited me to go, where are they baptized? And I say, well, were you baptized? Did you? Well, I was baptized when I was a kid. And I was like, okay. Well, you know, I was just wondering, you know, I don't know. So the new church order is different. But you do notice that there are a lot more in attendance.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot more in attendance. And I guess that's why the question came up, is it acceptable the way that they run the new church order so that they can get them in attendance? And maybe at some point, prayerfully at some point, the change will come about within that person.
Where's the accountability, though?
Well,
the accountability for that person?
In the new church order, where's the accountability? Who's being held responsible for making sure that these people that confessed have somebody that follows them and keep tabs on them and keep up with them and make sure?
Well, now, they do that. They do have that. I have to give them that. They do have – they have – someone that you know calls them on a regular basis and check on them, you know, to see if they whatever, and then talk with them and minister to them and everything on a regular basis.
Okay,
they do have that.
Okay.
What they minister to them about, I don't know.
That's another thing.
I don't know because you know.
Well, I know that from my experience. I had to perform a funeral because a certain church here in Houston would not do a person because they weren't a big type.
Oh, okay.
No, they was a member, been going there for years, but they were not a big type, okay? And plus, they don't do funerals, from my understanding. But I end up having to do it.
Yeah, I know several churches, I won't say a lot, several churches, they will not, if you're not a member, they will not do the service.
Some of them, if you're a sinner, if you have not confessed Christ, they won't do it.
they won't do the service.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was another topic.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give our final words here. And I'm going to start with Sister Regina, because she's been really, really quiet tonight, and I want to know what you think about this new church order, and then we're going to move from you to Minister Cook and Evangelist Williams, and Reverend Williams, you're going to be last because you just misbehaved all night long.
I'm all right.
But you know we expect that from you, so don't stop on our account. Okay, Sister Regina, what do you think about this new church order?
Well, I think about it is that, you know, they just need to be led by God and His Holy Spirit, you know, and just, you know, it's just everything that they do, they need to be doing it for God, and, you know, and falling back on what, you know, if they confess Christ or they took him in there and took him through the sinner's prayer, you know, make sure that they are following the protocol that they, you know, the little booklet or the pamphlet, whatever they gave them, make sure that they're following up with it.
Okay, amen.
All right.
Amen.
Minister Cook?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I know a little bit about the new order, but a lot of times the bigger churches, the people are going in and hiding out in the churches and not really doing much of anything. They want to do their little whatever in the bigger churches, where me, myself, I've always been a part of a smaller church, mm-hmm. where there's accountability, where there's, you know, people that if I need to touch bases with anybody, it's you know, it's not like I can't reach that person or I can't have interaction with that person. In other words, that person that's in charge is accessible.
Amen.
The new order, sometimes there's the pastor, but you might not never get to talk to him. You're talking to somebody that you're under that umbrella mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. accountability and people that you can contact, and then they'll contact the pastor.
Okay.
But sometimes you can talk to the pastor yourself.
Okay. All right. Evangelist Williams.
Repent ye and do your first works over. I've enjoyed this show, and I tell you, to me, I just have to stay where I am and do what I do, because I've been saved too long to change now, and I'm not about to get in some kind of church clique to get famous. I'm too old for that. So I'm going to just stay on my faith, stay in my word, and love God just like I've been doing, and I'm going to get my instructions from Him, from my pastor who gets his instructions from God. And I'm not trying to get in the new order. I'm not trying to get kicked with nobody. I'm not hooking up with nothing. I already hooked up with the real deal, and that's it. That's amen.
Okay. Now, Reverend Williams, I want you to be brief before everybody get off the line so I can kind of give them an idea of something that we did. Go ahead.
I would just say our churches of old had its problems and had some things. Our churches of new, the new order of churches, of how things are. One thing I know is that every church, every pastor, every member has to work out their own salvation, and it should be with fear and trembling. What I would just say is that I pray that I'm not trying to say that all churches or anyone. I would just say, make sure you get into the Word of God. You walk according to the Word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, that your church may be that which the Bible says. You come for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And it is up to us as members to be able to help our pastor, to help our members, help the deacons, to realize and to see where they may go wrong, that they may get on the right track. Amen.
Amen.
God bless
you. All right. Next week, we want to talk about I wish we could do it Thursday and get it over with, but we want to talk about, we've talked about tithing offerings. So we want to talk about the benevolence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what is it really for? What is it to be used for?
Okay.
We want to talk about that. We want to talk about does the church have a responsibility to help its members? And if they do, are the members responsible for paying it back? And we're going to talk about that on our next show.
Okay. Amen.
All right. And it's been great. It's been fun. It, like always, it's been educational. And I've enjoyed it.
Amen.
And I really thank everyone for their contribution.
And Ms. Sugar, if you will send me your address, I will sponsor the show for the month of June.
Okay. Okay, I do thank you for that. I'll get with you on that, and I'll get with you on that. We'll talk about that over the phone. Okay, then.
Y'all have a
good
evening.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
All right, Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
Next time you come on the line.
Well, quit calling me Sister Bobby. I'll come on the line.
Well, but you don't be holding back. You come on the line when you come.
No, ma'am.
When I come on, you...
First you clicked over. I was trying to make sure I had my stuff in order before I got on.
Oh, okay.
But
okay,
you
said, look here,
Bobby,
Sugar. This is not Minister Bobby.
No, ma'am. This is Minister Cook.
That's what you say. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Call me out like I call Reverend Williams out.
Oh, Jesus. No, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to behave. You be the put me
all
in
right,
time,
then.
Man.
Well, God bless everyone.
God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.